And God intends for us to grow and change and mature as we move along in our spiritual life. Now, you and I know sometimes we hit this stalemate or this plateau, and we don't grow sometimes much beyond a certain point. But there's always room for more growth and progress. We will never be completely holy and perfected until the day we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there are the laws of sowing and reaping. And I found that those concepts, sowing and reaping, are found throughout the Bible. If a person squanders his money foolishly, maxes out several credit cards, saves or invests nothing for the future, and gives nothing away to charity or to the Lord, he can't expect anything more than to live in poverty during the last several years of his life. You reap what you sow. And so just those principles that work in nature, they also work in the spiritual realm. They're different. And sometimes we don't see them worked out in the same way as we do when you plant a seed and a few months later you got a plant and after that you've got your fruit. But when you sow spiritual stuff in your life or sinful fleshly stuff in your life, there are going to be consequences that are all a part of God's principles that he set up. So I want us to look at the passage that we're considering today, along with some other verses on this same subject. And I'll read it for you. Look along. If you want to open your Bibles up, or your, it's kind of funny that Jan said she didn't have a Bible, but then she has a phone with 30 English translations on it, right? Or whatever we have. I don't have a Bible. I just got my cell phone, you know, with all those translations. But if you want to open your Bible up, some of you might want to put a little note or underline something from this passage. Okay, we're done doing that, it sounds like. Okay, so here's the passage. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. Pause with me for just a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. It's powerful and strong. I pray that today you'll help us to understand your principles, and maybe we can call them your laws of reaping and sowing, and that that will impact our lives in such a way that we can make some changes, planting some new seeds, weeding our gardens, our spiritual gardens, and getting rid of some weeds that are there. Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit and by your word, you will guide us today into your truth, and that we will apply what we learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, in the bulletin are some notes, if you want to pull them out of your bulletin, if you haven't already. There are notes where you don't have to do much, but what I'd like you to do with those notes is if something comes to your mind as we're going along here and God touches your heart and you want to remember what God just did for you, would you please just jot that down on those? And that will be really helpful for you later. So, there are a few key points that I want to point out from this passage in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. And the passage is there in your notes if you want to pull that out. The first point is very an interesting point. It's the very first part of the verse, verse 7. It says, God will not be mocked or ridiculed. This passage starts with the warning. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This is the fundamental law of the harvest. It is as trustworthy as gravity. It's irrevocable. Just as God made the natural laws, so also he made the spiritual laws. God doesn't suspend the spiritual laws any more frequently than he suspends the physical laws. If that sobers you, it should. Because sometimes we think that when we do things in our spiritual life, it won't matter. God will kind of cover over it. It won't make any difference. There won't be any consequences. That's not true at all. Jump out of an airplane without a parachute or violate some of God's principles and there'll be consequences. But on the other side, there's also incredible blessings and rewards when we're doing things God's way, because guess what? You reap what you sow. And that's the principle here. If a man didn't reap what he sowed, then God could be mocked for being inconsistent and arbitrary about how he worked in the moral or spiritual realm. But don't be deceived into thinking that you can live sinfully or foolishly and not reap the consequences of your actions. On the other hand, don't be deceived into thinking that you can live righteously and wisely and not reap the blessing and the rewards that come from God. It works both ways. And another principle that I see here, bullet point number two, is that God's spiritual laws, principles, are consistent and reliable, just like the laws of the physical laws that we talked about earlier. There's a cause to every effect. Ungodly behavior and habits lead to dysfunctional and destructive consequences. We've seen that in our own lives. Maybe some of you who came to faith in Christ later, you saw some of the destructive patterns that were in your life. Maybe you grew up in a dysfunctional family and you're dealing with the consequences of what mom and dad did to you. It's just amazing the way this works out for good or for bad. We can see the consequences in our government. We can see the consequences in our families. We can see the consequences in some of our churches. So there is just an incredible principle that we are trying to, I'm just trying to get this across here. So a few more points here in chapter 6, verse 7 that I think are key points. There are predictable and natural consequences for every action. Godly behavior and habits lead to beneficial and positive results. This is the principle of reaping and sowing. So, I don't know if you've ever had one of these things. I wish I had one now, because these are one of the coolest things ever invented. You bring up the ball, you pop it down, and boom, boom. It just keeps going and going and going. This is a great example of cause and effect. But there's another example of cause and effect. Now, let's call it the domino effect. One lie can lead to another lie and further problems and corruption. But taking in a victim of domestic violence may alter that person's life forever. You never know what the cause and the effect may be. One theft may prompt several more. At work, I work at SNAP, Spokane Neighborhood Action Partners. And we had to watch a video and read some literature about fraud in the workplace. And it was interesting when I was watching the video of three people telling their stories. All of them entered into stealing from the company or stealing from the school very innocently. I'll just take it a little bit now and I'll pay it back later. And then pretty soon it became so easy and didn't get caught for such a long time that one theft led to another, and the snowball or the domino effect took place. But on the other hand, on the positive side, adopting a child may save that child in countless ways. As you know, we adopted a couple children, and it's a wonderful story. But I have no idea what would have happened to those two kids in Russia had we not adopted them. I think they're really grateful, and their lives were changed forever. The domino effect, one act and more acts leading to change lives, either for good or for bad. This is the law or the principle of reaping and sowing. So I said there are seven. They're already written there in your notes, so you can look at them and put some notes under them if you wish. But the first law of the harvest is we reap only what has been sowed. When you think about loving and healthy parents building into the lives of their children, you know what almost always results? Loving, healthy kids who turn out to be responsible, contributing citizens to society. But if you grew up, or if you know people who grew up in an abusive, dysfunctional family where the parents had their own mess, oftentimes those kids grow up turning out just like their parents, because you know what? You reap what you sow. And I think that most of the, I'm not sure if this is true of most, the only statistic I've heard is that most black men who are in prison grew up without a father in the home. The cause and effect, you sow what you reap. And so this principle is very powerful, and it's very sure, and it's one of God's spiritual principles. There are a lot of corollaries to this one, but the one that probably comes to my mind, the one I want to share, is that we also reap what others have sown. Have you thought about that? What you do affects other people's lives. What the government does affects all of us, good government or bad. We saw that in the nation of Israel. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the northern kingdom, where there were 20 plus kings, none of them were good. In the southern kingdom, where David was, there were a handful of them, maybe six or eight, who were good. And every time a good king would come on the throne, good things would happen to Israel again. But then when a bad king came along, it would just destroy the country one more time, to the point that eventually both the northern and the southern kingdom went into captivity. Are you reaping the consequences of someone else's sin right now? Are we all reaping the consequences of an academic system that left God out completely? And the science and the history and the biology is all tainted in a certain direction. The morality doesn't hardly exist anymore because we took God out of the school. We're taking God out of America. We're going to reap what we sow. And so it's a very powerful principle. But the second law of the harvest is that we reap the same in kind as we sow. So if you're the kind of person that forgives freely and graciously and generously, good chance that people are going to forgive you freely and graciously in the same way you did to them. If you're the kind of person that seeks out revenge and you're mean-spirited and angry and nasty, it could be that that's the way you will be treated as well, because we reap in kind what we sow. There's a lot in the Proverbs about a word spoken, a kind word spoken to another, that displaces the anxiety and the negative responses that come from people. Helping someone in need, oftentimes you find that God does the same for you. There's sometimes people have said that, you know, if you give to God, He will pay you back. I think that probably that's part of a prosperity gospel that's not really true. But it's amazing, though, when God sees your generous heart as you sow in the lives of others, that when your time of need comes, oftentimes you are also the recipient of some good gifts and things that come from Him. If you sow evil, you will reap evil. If you sow good, you will reap good. You cannot sow evil and reap good. And you cannot sow good and reap evil. King David gives us a great example of this. And I think in a recent sermon, Rob illustrated this for us beautifully. I'm just going to use this again. Just to know that when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed on the front line, David was responsible for those sins. And he suffered severe consequences for those. Let me just read again. Rob has already shared this. But the word comes to David. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in His eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. One verse later it says, now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. You killed Uriah, the sword will never depart from your house. It's in kind. You sow what you reap. And then later, just a verse later, this is what the Lord God says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. David took the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, and his wives were taken from him. It's reaping and sowing in like kind. It's very interesting. And it says in the very last verse in this section, you did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. And so we do reap what we sow, but it's in kind. You sow good. You sow to the Spirit. You're building good character and qualities into your life, but you're going to reap those wonderful benefits that come from that. The opposite is true as well, as we can see. So, a person who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit, Galatians 6:8. And that verse is just a powerful verse. It really lays out a foundation that is significant for all of us. Can you think of some things that you've done in your life where you really believe you're building into your life good, solid, spiritual, godly things, habits? You're working on character qualities. You're working on being more generous, more sacrificial, more loving. Or you're trying to overcome some of the things that you did in prior days or prior months or prior years, trying to undo some of the stuff that you, where you were feeding the flesh. I think sometimes when we think about the spiritual life, it's like there's, this is maybe not the best illustration. There's a hungry dog inside your heart, and you can feed that hungry dog and satisfy the flesh in whatever ways it's craving for. Or you can feed the Spirit and nourish your spirit in the spiritual life that you have. Well, the third principle that I want to share with you, and that is this one. We reap in a different season than when we sow. Which means we often sow, but we reap at a different time. You know, you do good, you do the right thing, or you do the bad, or you do the bad thing. You don't often see the consequences immediately of your actions. Sometimes it takes a long time. For the people involved in fraud, it took several months or maybe a year or so before they got caught. Sometimes you do good to someone and you don't see the full results of that for months or years later. I like to think of it this way. You know, you plant a seed. It's not that full plant with all the grain or the fruit right away, is it? It takes months for the harvest to come. Now, I realize that those are not wheat seeds. Did you notice that too? Best picture I could find. So, but you plant in one season and you reap in another. So, I think that you will find this humorous. I sure did. A lot of people will sow their wild oats from Monday to Saturday and then pray for a crop failure on Sunday. The consequences of the evil we do may not be fully realized for years. But the benefits and the blessings and the rewards may not be fully realized for years as well. So in that passage, and we'll come back to it, never give up. Never stop. Never slow down, because you just don't know what that result will be when it comes to doing good. When it comes to doing evil, stop as quickly as you can, whatever that may be. So I just wanted to, you know, just read another passage that has to do with this principle. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Yeah, that's about right. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. You think about it this way too. Sometimes when you're going through life and you're sowing seeds, you're not beginning the process. Someone else has done it. And so at the end result, all those who sowed can and all those who reap are rejoicing together. But then it says, for in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Doesn't that sound like the The principle that we just looked at, we reap in a different time than when we sow. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. It's funny when you share the gospel with somebody, you don't know how many other people have shared the gospel with them, what videos they saw, what Bible verses they read, what churches they went to. It could be that you get to be the one that shares it for the last time, and it's that time that they respond to the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You get to reap, and all the other people before that have sown seeds. And what about someone who is just a, you know, the kind of person that nobody likes and no one gets along with? He's crotchety, he's kind of angry, and you start building love and care and kindness into that person's life, and others do that, and others do that, maybe before you and after you, and you see a change in the life. I know that some of you men and women married, you may have both been non-believers when you got married, or maybe one of you was a believer when you got married, and you spent years praying for your spouse that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior too. And you just don't give up because you know that sowing those seeds of prayer for your spouse will pay off. I can't guarantee that when you pray for that spouse, they're always going to come to know Jesus as their Savior. I don't find a promise like that in the Bible, because people can say no to God. And there's that aspect of will involved in this too. But don't give up on your prayers. And so when it comes to family, nation, church, and evangelism, sometimes we're reaping what others have sown, or we're sowing and someone else will have the blessing of reaping. And then we come to the fourth principle here, which is called, we reap more than we sow. Now, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, look at this picture here. One little corn. Now, I don't know why my wife does this, but when she plants seeds, she always puts two in the hole. You know what always happens? Two grow. But she's convinced that if you put in two, one's not going to make it, you know. So where's Lori? Where are you, Lori? Oh, there you are. Hi, Lori. So I say, Lord, why'd you waste the second seed? You're going to cut it off later, you know, because you only want one there, whatever it might be. One flower seed can produce several bouquets of flowers. One apple seed can produce apples for a lifetime. One lie usually leads to another. This principle could also be called the ripple effect. A single stone thrown into the water produces ripples in ever-increasing circles. And we reap more than we sow. So you're doing something small. Why do we call it a little white lie? It's just a lie. Because we think that that one little white lie is just a small little thing. It won't amount to anything. But what if that little white lie has a ripple effect and it produces more trouble and more problems than you ever could have imagined? And what about that little one act of kindness? Who knows what the effect of that could be? But we reap more than we sow. Maybe not always, but I think that's a general principle that we can kind of count on. And so there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 9. This has to do with money. At the bottom of your notes, it says there's some more passages you can look at later. And this section is about giving. And Paul is thanking the Corinthians for their incredible gifts and generosity. And here's some of the things he says. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Those are incredible passages that talk about the giving, serving, doing things with great generosity, not sparingly. Giving more, doing more. We could all see how this would be true in investing your money. What if when you were 25, you started putting money into a retirement account? By now, you'd have $1 million if you're my age. But we don't do that. We don't plan ahead. We don't think about that. And what if in the life of that person that you want to see come to Christ, like your dad or your mom or your brother or sister, or that neighbor you've lived next to for 15 years, what if just a little bit? You wouldn't think, I got to dump the whole load today, and this is it for him. It's now or never. Well, what if it's just a little bit at a time? Just sharing, loving, caring, helping, and then someday you can say, you know what? This is that day, and the person's ripe and ready. This is really true in terms of discipleship, too, when it comes to sparingly and bountifully. When it comes to discipling someone, give all your time, energy, and attention you can to bringing someone to a fuller, deeper relationship with God. There's another one. There's 5 out of 7. Here's 5. We reap in proportion as we sow. So what does that mean? The one we just looked at was you reap more than you sow, right? We reap more than we sow. This one says we reap in proportion to as we sow. So this might help a little bit. If you sow a little, you will reap a little. If you plant one seed, you might get one tomato plant. But if you want more tomatoes, you put in 3 or 4 seeds. Or we don't do seeds, we do plants normally. Put in 3 or 4 plants if you want more tomatoes. If you sow a little, you will reap a little. But if you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. So even though this principle sounds similar to the previous one, getting more, there is a difference. We always reap more than we sow. That law has been established by God. One seed yields much fruit, but you can plant one seed or 100 seeds. If one seed produces much fruit, then 100 seeds produce 100 times more. You can tell one lie or 10. See how this works? One lie might have an effect, but 10 lies. It's like compound interest. You can give one compliment or 10. You can give 1% of your income or 10% of your income. You can have devotions once a week or 7 days a week. You can serve for 1 hour or serve for 10. You see how this works? You can share the gospel with one person or with many. The principle of reaping more than you sow, that principle is determined by God. But the amount that you sow is determined by you. How much time am I going to spend? Well, I guess that's my decision. How much money am I going to give? That's your decision. You can decide how big the harvest will be, and the harvest may not be in this lifetime. Harvest may be later. The harvest may come when you stand face to face with Jesus Christ. So, and this thing works in both directions, for good and for bad. So, we got 2 more to go. Here's 6. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. You know, when it comes to gardening ideas, you know, what's perseverance look like? It means you're watering your garden, you're fertilizing your garden, you're pulling the weeds out of your garden. If it gets cold, you're covering your garden so it doesn't freeze. Lots of things you do, but that's the idea of persevering when it comes to a real garden. But what's it look like when it comes to other things in life, the spiritual side of things? Reaping the full harvest. So if you persevere, keep on praying, keep on serving, keep on being kind, keep on sharing the gospel. And sometimes you just have to be perseverance. We normally think of the idea of perseverance when it comes to prayer, because we find verses in the Bible that says, pray always, pray without ceasing, pray with perseverance. But this relates to other areas of life too. Weeds grow on their own, by themselves. And sometimes we just have to pluck them out. So, chapter 6 and verse 9, one more time, it says, so we must not grow weary in doing good, whatever that good is. For in due time, we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't stop. And so I have this slide. We must persevere. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't stop. Quit. Don't get discouraged. Don't grow weary in your prayer life, in witnessing, in your giving, in your serving, in your parenting or grandparenting. Work hard, whatever it is. Don't be lazy at work, at telling the truth and at loving your spouse or whatever it is. All those things, persevere. Keep on doing it time after time after time. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep on doing the right thing. And then we come to the final principle, which is this. It says, we cannot do anything about, I love this one, we can't do anything about last year's harvest. And especially this relates to the mistakes you've made, the sins you've committed, all those foibles, all those things you wish you could take back, the regrets of your life, and the blaming of other people for the problems you face yourself. We cannot do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year's. So let's just kind of take inventory right now. Maybe some of you are thinking, I'm doing pretty good. And others are thinking, man, I blew it back there. And I did that. And I still have this horrible habit. It's not too late. But we can do something about it now, starting today. And so the last section, if you want to put some notes down, whatever comes to your heart and mind, you might want to jot one of these down, because there's going to be a few things that are going to fly your way. Here's a few of them. Continue in the good habits that you are doing now. Don't stop them. If it's reading the Bible, if it's trying to share and witness to your neighbor, if it's doing your very best at work, not to get a promotion, but best because you're serving the Lord, whatever that those things are, just keep on doing them. But if you got a bad habit, if there's some sin in your life, stop now. Some of those things are hard, right? Because they're habits and they get ingrained. And sometimes my body says, I want that thing. And you go for it time after time after time. And you might need some help to break those. You might need some counseling. You might need some therapy. You might need to just get a friend and tell your friend and ask that person to pray with you and for you. Stop the bad habits that cause that guilt and pain. And especially if you're hurting other people. Stop. You gotta. And that's because there's a principle at work here. It's called the principle of sowing and reaping, or reaping and sowing. Yeah, I guess you sow first, don't you? And then continuing your time in the Word and prayer, if you're already doing that. But if you're not, start something. It doesn't have to be every day of the week. But if you're not doing anything or very little, get into it. The Word of God is food for your heart and soul. That's what's going to nourish you in your Christian walk in life. Start it. Get it going. Don't delay. A few more ideas here. Invest more of your time and treasures and talents in things that have eternal value. And stop doing those things and stop spending your money on those things that are only for this life and for temporal pleasure. Cut down on that TV time and that cell phone time. Cut down on that. Stop making excuses. I didn't have any time to read the Word because I had to spend 2 hours checking all my Facebook and I don't even have Facebook anymore. All those accounts, you know, just stop doing those things and start doing the good things. But invest your time and your talents and treasures and things that you think this is going to have eternal value and consequences. Don't blame others for your messed up life. How many of you, yeah, don't raise your hand, I'm just thinking out loud. My parents were pretty good. They weren't Christians, but they were pretty good. I don't blame my mom and dad for anything, although I am a bit of a product of my mom and dad, for good or for bad. But I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to blame them for the mistakes they made. I'm a man. I'm going to take responsibility. Whatever is messed up in my life, God and I have got to fix it. And I might need you to help me fix it too. Don't blame those people from your past. Don't blame somebody else. They're responsible, and they have sown and they have reaped, and you're reaping some of the things that they've done. But move on and take responsibility now. And you have to acknowledge and accept the consequences of your own sins and the sins of others. And realize that when you forgive someone else, there still may be consequences. Because guess what? There's a principle at work, and it's called sowing and reaping. And God doesn't reverse and take away all those negative things that you've done to yourself or others have done to you. So keep those things in mind. And get help if you need it. And just begin that work of saying, okay, I've got a hot temper. I'm going to take care of this. I might need some help, but I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to get better. And by God's grace and by His Holy Spirit, I'm going to become a new man. And the last few suggestions here are these. Confess and repent from your sin. Realize this, that confession and repentance may not alter the consequences of the sin. Because there's a principle at work here. And I was thinking if I could pick on a whole bunch of different vices that some of you may have, and it might seem like I'm being mean or cruel, but think of it yourself. Some of the things that you're doing, some of the things that you know are harmful or unhealthy, ask God to help you stop those things. Because there may be consequences. Some of the things you read, some of the things you watch, they might have consequences. And then lastly, cultivate and nurture relationships. I'm reminded of a book that I never bought, but I had to look it up the other day to see what that title was. Good marriages take time. Bad marriages take more time. Do any of you know who David Hawking is? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. David Hawking. Was he the Biola Hour? What was he? He had his own show? What was it? Okay. David Hawking was one of the best Bible preachers I've ever heard. I like Chuck Swindoll, too, by the way. David Jeremiah, he's good too. Rob Scheel, hey, he's awesome. So. But David Hawking got into some trouble in a bad relationship of some kind. I don't remember the details. It's been so long. That book's out of print. He didn't even show up on the internet when I searched for him. It's really weird. I think that book was available on Amazon, but not at the Christian book website I go to. Anyway, my point is that when it comes to your married life, work at it. Work at those relationships. Make them stronger. Don't take it for granted. Because if you don't work on it, you might grow some weeds in that relationship. You have to work at those things and make them strong. Well, maybe something else came to your mind as I was sharing these principles with you. Something good you want to keep on doing or start doing. Something not so good that you want to stop or alter. There's a lot of room for application in this sermon, and I hope that you find it. So once more, just to read the passage from another translation, do not be deceived. God will not be made a fool, for a person will reap what he sows. Because a person who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we must not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who belong to the family of faith. Sow good seeds everywhere you go, and you will reap a bountiful harvest. Let's pray together. And as I pray, the worship team can come up and get ready for our closing song. Father God, thank you for this passage. Thank you for these principles. I pray that for each one of us, something has really sunk into our own hearts and spirits. And we'll go from this place today knowing something to change, something to do, something to continue, something that will increase or change that whole principle of reaping and sowing. And I just thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us this time together and these incredible spiritual truths from your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.